Starting with verse 13. I want you all to turn there. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Here's how it goes. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus answered and he said to him, Permit it to be so at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, the voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, candidates, the first thing I want you to notice is this. I'm going to stop right there, but I'll pick up the story. Keep your finger there like I do. See, it's real easy to open it again. I want you to know that Jesus was baptized as he told John to fulfill all righteousness. This is what Christians do when they accept Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus is our example. They're baptized. And you know what's amazing about these 11 is, or any of us for that matter, it is humbling to get up here into the tank for the baptism in front of all of you. But at the same time, it's exactly what Jesus did. And I want you to notice something you may not have thought of before, and that is this. This was the highest spiritual point of Jesus' life. Yeah, how did I arrive at that? Let me tell you how I got to thinking about this. Jesus had lived all these years, 27 years on this earth, and he had been a carpenter. He'd been very humble, obedient to Joseph and his mother. And after Joseph died, he took care of the business, did his best until the Spirit says it's time to be baptized. And did you ever stop to think that until that point, he had never in human form heard his Father's voice audibly before? Do you think hearing that voice say to Jesus, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, wasn't the most thrilling experience to date Jesus had on earth as a human? It makes sense, doesn't it? And not only that, it says in Luke, he got up out of the water, knelt down on the bank, and said a prayer. And while he prayed, it said, The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and lit on him. And I mean, that had to be also a very exciting experience for Jesus, not to mention that all the community there who was by the Jordan River and witnessed this, guess what? They saw it. They saw it. Wouldn't you say this was the highest moment at this point in Jesus' earthly life, the highest moment spiritually? Okay, baptismal candidates, I want you to look at the next verse. You ready? Here it is. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And folks, you know this story, don't you? 40 days and 40 nights without food, in a wilderness setting, a depressing desert-type setting, cold at night, hot during the day, all by himself with the scorpions and the lizards and the snakes and the kangaroo mouses and whatever else was there. And Satan harassing him all the time. I want the candidates to know that after you make this decision and are publicly proclaimed, Satan will be angry with you just like he was with Jesus. And he will try to come to you and say, You made a mistake. This wasn't real. Look at you. You're not even acting like a Christian right now. So I want you to know your highest spiritual point will always be followed by an attack by Satan. Why? It is proof that what you did is right. What God allowed His Son to go through proves that the baptism was correct. And so, baptismal candidates, I want you to understand, Satan hates you. And the Lord will allow whatever you can handle to happen. One, to prove that you did the right thing. Two, to also show that if you hang in with Jesus, Satan will lose. After 40 days and 40 nights, and by the way, you will not go 40 days and 40 nights, okay? After 40 days and 40 nights, Satan got the boot. Jesus came out of the wilderness to do a ministry that won our salvation. Amen? That's the first thing I want our baptismal candidates to do. Now I invite you to go to Acts, the second chapter, for the second thing I want to share with them. Acts, the second chapter. By the way, while you're turning to Acts 2, baptismal candidates, I want you to know this. Being baptized today is the most important decision of your life. No decision you make from this day forward is as important. The first most important decision for anybody is whether or not to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen? And when you do that, you have made the very most important decision. And so notice what Acts, the second chapter, says. This is Pentecost now, verse 37. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and Peter began to preach in a powerful way, folks. He didn't even have time to prepare for the sermon. This was totally impromptu. And after he got done preaching this sermon, only led by the Holy Spirit, to this huge crowd of foreigners from every corner of the earth, notice what it says. Now when they, verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, they, all these people from all these countries, they were pierced to the heart. My marginal reference says smitten in conscience. I looked up the word in the Greek. It actually means to pierce them through to the very depths. And with deep pathos, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter looked at them and he said, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In fact, notice it says, "For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." Brothers and sisters, here Peter verifies what Jesus did in coming to the Jordan River to be baptized. When they were smitten deep to their heart and said, what should we do? We've got to do something. You've got to tell me, what should we do? He looked at them and said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Here's what I want the baptismal candidates to know. And that is this. When you're baptized, the Bible now teaches, according to Jesus and Peter, that you receive an additional portion of the Holy Spirit that qualifies you to live a different life now. Can you say amen to that? That means when you're baptized, God does something supernatural that would not take place unless you were baptized. And that is to qualify you to get out of the water and to be a Christian. Now, I want to say this because little Diana, the youngest we have, she is so sweet. She says, "But Pastor Neary, what if I make a mistake? What if I'm not good enough?" And I said, "You aren't. And you will. I make mistakes. By the way, I believe one day I'll stop making mistakes just before Jesus comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. But right now I'm not there. And I want you to know that when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit comes in an additional form that you wouldn't have got had you not been baptized, showing you why you need to be baptized. And it qualifies you to be a Christian. Now, here's what that may mean. When you make a mistake, Diana, like I do, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. He comes and says, "You blew it. Now you must say you're sorry." And you go, "Okay, I'm sorry, Lord." Now, if you offended anybody, then you need to go to them and tell them you're sorry. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. A Christian is someone who says they're sorry. And they get up and they go on trusting Jesus Christ. Baptismal candidates, I want you to know that you will receive additional portion of the Holy Spirit that you would not have gotten had you not been baptized, that will help you through the struggle as you grow as a Christian from this day forward. Can you say amen? That's why church members can't be critical. Who here is perfect? Raise your hand. Who put their hand up over there? I love the children. They're great. That child may be right. I can't put my hand up. I want you to know that. And that's why we've got to be merciful and gracious and long-suffering and kind with one another, just the way Jesus is with us. Folks, if you want to be hard on somebody, be hard on yourself. But be kind to other people. Well, there's one more thing I want you to learn. And that's found in Acts, the 8th chapter. And this will bring it to a close. Turn to Acts 8. We'll do a little commercial here. Oh, my little booklet. I left it somewhere. Oh, my rushing around. Probably in my office. You have Acts, the 8th chapter. I want you to watch this, folks. You're here for a reason. All of you are here for a reason. And Saul was in a hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. This is Acts 8, verse 1. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, and he put them in a prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered about went about preaching the word, verse 4, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began preaching Christ to the Samaritans. Verse 12, and when they believed Philip's preaching, the good news about the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Now, baptismal candidates, here it is for everybody, because of you. That when persecution arose, the church leaders, the pastors, stayed in Jerusalem. I just read that to you, didn't it say that? But the people, the members, had to scatter because of persecution. And when they scattered, what did they do? They preached. How come only one person picked up on that? What did they do? They preached. And then they baptized. That's the purpose of the church. The church has no other reason for existence. This is not a nice place for you to come one day a week and act pious and holy and then leave and do your life the rest of the week. That is not why we're here. We are here to fill that baptismal tank. Notice the preacher stayed in town and the people scattered. That's what it says. And their purpose was to preach the gospel so that when their baptism or when their Bible study was ready, they were baptized, just like those who are here today are going to be baptized. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to make a short commercial announcement at the expense, of course, of our baptismal candidates, and that is this. I have a prayer meeting class on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock that's starting on May 9th. It goes for 6 simple, short weeks, one night a week, Wednesday night till June 13th, and it teaches you how to give a Bible study. I want to invite you to come. We got a group right now ready to graduate who have already gone through that study. Now we're going to do it one more time for those of you who haven't come yet. And I want to tell you something. It's incredible what you'll learn there. Ask those who have already attended the class. Because if nothing else, it teaches you how to be a Christian when you go to see somebody. But God has something better for you, and that is exactly this. It took persecution to get the church members out in the community to teach the Bible. He's trying to get us out too. Let's not wait for persecution, folks. Let's do it voluntarily. Let's be proactive. Come to the class. Now, by the way, if you're too old to drive at night or you don't like night driving and you just, you know, it's just too much for you, then get connected with us in praying for the people who are studying the Bible. Then you're involved in getting somebody in the baptism. And let's say there's some that just refuse, I am too shy to give a Bible study. Then get a job in this church and do something. You want to know something? I'm going to hammer away at this. I still think our outside looks terrible. The inside's beautiful. We need more weed pullers. And I want you to know, weed pulling will bring people into the baptistry. Because they'll drive up here for the first time and say, this church cares about their looks. And to me, that reflects Jesus. This is His house. And by the way, shouldn't it be lined with palms just like your driveways? Shouldn't there be pretty flowers that are tended to regularly in every spot where you can put one, with weeds that are pulled on a regular basis just like your house? Brothers and sisters, let's pull together. The purpose of our existence is to give Bible studies. Let's avail ourselves in whatever way we can. This is not feel guilty, not feel ashamed. This is an invitation. We all make mistakes, including me. And unfortunately, because I stand here, too many of you know that. But let's not give up. Let's pull together. And let's watch these young people be baptized. And when they are, it'll inspire us. It'll inspire us to make a stand as firm as they are, to break out of our comfort zone and to make an effort. So young, you baptismal candidates, I want you to know you're doing what Jesus did. And Satan is not pleased with you and may come and try to harass you, but God won't make it above what you can take, and God's won, right? Already. Also, please remember that when you're baptized, you receive an extra portion of the Holy Spirit to suit you to be a Christian now. And all you need to do is say you're sorry when you make a mistake. And finally, now we have to share with someone else. That's what we're all about. God bless you folks as you ponder these thoughts. And I know God is going to work with us and through us. And we, you know what? Fallbrook Church. By the way, if you're a guest, you can come here anytime. By the way, if you're interested in any of our programs, but you're not interested in church membership, I don't care. Come anyway. If you want a place to come, you can come here. Don't worry about it. If the Lord wants you to join, He'll tell you to join. You can have a part in all of this. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask Bob Tewksbury to introduce our baptismal candidates. Okay, Bob, will you come up here?